You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
How's it going, people? Welcome back to the channel and welcome back to the Forever Arsenal podcast. Hope you're all good and well out there. And big up the lads as usual, James, Lee, and the mystery guest, I guess you can call him. I don't know when he's going to...
He's back. Back again. He's back.
It's a wounded animal. It's a wounded animal.
He's back. He's back. Guess who's back?
I'll
do the rest. I'm back.
Lee's off.
Lee's off.
Where's my mate
Shiroi?
Where is he?
I'm back. Yeah? And look, so Turkish, before you go any further, can I have the stage for like 60 seconds max?
All yours.
Okay. So I'm back, ladies and gentlemen, and I saw the show, last show, brilliant show, by the way, boys, brilliant show, loved it.
Oh, great work.
It was great. And I had a look through the comments. I just thought, just see what the feedback is, see what's going on. Here's a few of them. Credit where it's due, this is by far Jordan's best episode so far.
I saw that one.
I hope Jordan is very successful at what he does, so he will be permanently busy. Nearly broke. Hang on. Nearly broke my phone smashing the like button when I saw Jordan not in the video. There's more. Listen to this one. Jordan being replaced with Shiroi is like Ronaldo being replaced by Ramos at Portugal. It's called the hat trick. All right. Hang on. There was some love. The banter is not the same without Jordan. You can tell Lee misses him. I can tell as well. Another one here.
I love you.
Good show, Shiroi, but I can't wait for Jordan to come back. Hang on, there's more. Turn the page. Hang on.
Someone wish you success so they never have to see you. That's incredible.
Yeah, hang on. I like Shiroi, but Jordan knows his football too, and I like hearing his point of view. Thank you very much. Everyone likes to have Shiroi on. Hang on, this was in capitals. Everyone like the button to have Shiroi on forever. All in caps. Thank you very much.
Jordan, how many likes did lots
get? Jordan talking lots of sense today. Big up Shiroi and Jordan. That was nice. This is for forever. Oh, here it is. This is the forever Arsenal we've been waiting for. Henri, Bergkamp, Vieira and Pires of AFTV. Cheeky fucker. And the best one is the best one. I'm going to finish the best one.
He's got his own page.
This is for you, Shiroi. Shiroi is the guy your girl tells you not to worry about. So basically, when you got a girlfriend and your girl's like, no, Shiroi's a nice guy. Go out, Jordan. Go out. I'm hanging out with Sheroy. She's saying that Sheroy is the snake. No, I like Sheroy. Sheroy's a good guy. Sheroy would not snake me. But these comments don't lie. And there's more. But I'll defer.
398 of them to be precise. You know what I mean?
I've got to say, I'll shut up. Sheroy, before I joked about Sheroy being a really good guest and a really good contributor. We all love Sheroy. I mean, at first I was joking, but seriously now, Sheroy, you're getting a bit too good. So can you just like, because yeah, you were a bit too good on the last episode.
Reel it in, my guy.
Yeah. Come on. You're embarrassing me now, Sheroy.
I love that Sheroy, the guy they tell you not to worry about. Like me, Turkish and Lee, we're just going for a drink. What, with who? With Sheroy. Oh, again, are you?
No, exactly.
It's not what you think. We're just hanging out. There's nothing to worry about. Jordan, we'll invite you next time. You really like him.
I do love Sheroy. I love Jordan too, man. Big up Jordan, man. Jeez. Big up Sheroy as well. Big up everyone that keeps it respectful in the comments. Listen, we love a bit of banter, as you can see Jordan does too. And he's writing your comments down, people. So, listen, watch out. He's got that black book there. He's ready to go. He's running out of pages. So, you know.
You wrote them all down.
I did.
It's not even screenshots. Fair play.
I thought that one was good. It's, I hope Jordan's successful in what he does. That was Sheroy's mum that wrote that, by the way.
Anyway, over to you, Token. Sorry. So I'm thinking I'm enough time.
Yeah, well, there's the comments of the day done. I mean, Jordan got a few of them in, but we will get ours in. Me,
thank God, because there was so many of them. Do you want to go through them? Like, you know what I mean, so.
Let's move on to the football. Actually, before we move on to the football, hit the like button, people. Make sure you hit the like button. Get up to 1,000 nice and early. Love for the love, as always. And it's pretty much a jam-packed show. Arsenal coming off a friendly win against Lyon, our first friendly of this mid-season break, going straight into another friendly against AC Milan on Tuesday. And then our final friendly comes Saturday. But we'll have another show in between the AC Milan result and the fixture coming up against Juventus at the Emirates Stadium. But we start with Arsenal 3, Lyon 0. I've done the watch-along with Lee and James. Jordan, did you catch the match or...?
I didn't. I can't lie. I didn't. Sorry. I'm being honest. I didn't see it. No highlights.
Low lights? Which one? Sign, my bro. Give me sign.
Honestly, I saw this.
Why don't you just lie, Jordan, and say, yes, we'd have covered you. We'd have covered you.
Yeah. What do you think of our kick-off?
Sheroy watched it. I'll tell you that.
Did Sheroy watch it? That's the question.
Good question. Sheroy, leave us a comment. Did you watch the game against Lyon?
Of course. I'm going to hand over to Jay on this one because I've got nothing on this game.
Won't start with you then, Jordan.
Sorry.
James Lee, we've spoken about it already. We was there watching it together. It's been a few days since that result. Obviously, everything's really around the World Cup action and the quarterfinals, and we're going to touch in on that. But Gabriel, great header. Eddie Nketiah, very nice finish. Good build-up from Vieira and a good ball from Lokonga. And Vieira's goal, beautiful. It doesn't really matter who that's against and what sort of match it's in. I mean, the brilliance of the goal itself, you know, we saw similar against Brentford. So well done to Vieira. But what's your thoughts on it? Take much from it?
Look, there's good patterns, isn't there? We saw in pre-season where we won every game. And it meant that we went into the Premier League season red hot and we continued that. And that's 12 wins out of 14 in the league. And a similar trend now. Okay, it's only one mid-season friendly, but I thought we looked incredibly sharp. I thought we looked incredibly organised. Everyone knew their roles. And so there's the kind of fitness side of things and the sharpness side of things, which is brilliant to see. I thought Arsenal looked far, far, far more ahead of Lyon in their preparations. But then again, I'm not sure how good Lyon actually are. And good players on the pitch, don't get me wrong. I thought Arsenal did well in that sense. But also to see I think players I really were hoping would have good games have good games. And the three really were Vieira, Nketiah, Lokonga. Now, that's not to say that across the whole 90 minutes, they were 10 out of 10 performances. But Vieira had those two real moments of class. That assist is so good because the first touch from Lokonga's pass, and then it's the couple touches before he then just outside the boot rolls into Nketiah. And then his finish, I mean, you said it, it's brilliant. Doesn't matter how or what game that scored in, it's class. Nketiah's hold-up play for that third goal was excellent. And generally, I thought he looked dangerous. I thought Lokonga looked really good in the middle of the park, actually. Again, the third goal, he plays a big part in. Obviously, the second is his ball over the top as well. And generally, he looked like he was, I think he's almost, he's kind of been looked at as having a bit of a kind of pretty relaxed kind of approach. He seems quite a composed spin, which is a good thing. But some people kind of use that as criticism. But I thought there was a really good intensity about him and the whole midfield three, Odegaard included, was excellent. So look, I think Arteta will be extremely happy with how those preparations have gone for that first game, especially knowing that Saliba, White, Zinchenko, Xhaka, Partey, Jesus, Saka, Martinelli all weren't playing. That's eight players. And for that level of performance and sharpness to be there, I think it's a great sign.
You mentioned Ramsdale as well?
No, I didn't. So there you go.
I mean, Lee, he went with a very strong side. I mean, the strongest side he could pick from what he has. I know the Zinchenko... I guess it came not so much as a surprise. There was rumours that he's picked up something. We don't really know what it is yet. But aside from that, he went strong. I think he's preparing the players for that West Ham game. About 2 weeks to the day now where we play West Ham. But what do you take away from that game, if anything at all?
Yeah, no, I didn't really take too much away from it on the day because, you know, I thought Leon were poor and it was a good performance and all that. But, you know, like... after Leon had beaten Liverpool 3-1 today. So all of a sudden you think, oh, hold on a minute, you know, maybe it was a bit better than what I actually thought it was because Lacazette scored two goals today, never got a kick against us, like, you know. So I think, you know, in context, it was a good performance. Great to see the Arsenal playing again. And I've certainly, by watching that game, you realise that it's getting close now. You know, Christmas is getting close and Boxing Day as well, and of course that's when we start back up. I'm pretty sure Saka, I've heard, is coming back into gone to Dubai. I think he landed, see the snow, and he thought, I'll tell you what, I'm going to pop off to Dubai.
Dubai, yeah?
So that's what I've been told. You know, whether he come back home and then went, I don't know, but I've been told that he has. I think, you know, the worry for me was, you know, Zinchenko not being fit, and but he's sort of addressed that today, and he's saying that it was slight. I think he's probably been training a little bit, and it was like a little bit tight and everything like that. So there's, you know, the precaution more than anything else. So I'm hoping that he gets some minutes on Tuesday. But all in all, I was with what James is saying. I'm very, very impressed with certain players. Lokonga, I think, you know, deserves a little bit of praise because every time he's played, he's been sort of criticised. I know it's only a friendly, but I'm on the camp now, and I've always said it. Pre-season is very, very important. Look what it done for us there, and we need to hit the ground running again. I felt we did. I thought it was good. I actually been watching the World Cup, and it was a pleasure to watch Arsenal. Not because it was just Arsenal, but the way we won the ball back and pressed it, and got the ball back. You know, I haven't seen no team do it as well as us in this World Cup. So we get the ball back and then we go again and control game. So it was nice to see Arsenal back. And when that game come on Thursday, I was really looking forward to just to see the Arsenal again, like, you know. And I now know that it's getting a little bit closer to the Arsenal. And of course, with England going out now, the World Cup don't really. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but as soon as England went out, you say like, you lose a little bit for that World Cup. I don't know if James feels that because he hasn't, his team's not in it, but I never felt like, I felt a little bit down yesterday, felt a little bit down after the game, but I'm perked up again now. Like, you know, I will say this, that I think the reason being, because now I think it is getting closer to the Arsenal coming back and the pressures of that, like, you know, I actually, doing the watch along yesterday. I had to watch a bit of the Man United game against, was it Real Betis or something? I can't remember they were playing. Cadiz,
I think, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they lost 1-0, and I wasn't that impressed with them neither. And I'm thinking, right, okay, well, I was really impressed with Arsenal. So, you know, I think that, you know, we're in a good position and good place at the moment. And what I've got to say is that if this is true about Saka and he's come back there, that means that all the players now are wanting to come back. That must tell you something. You know, you've had 4 or 5 weeks intense stuff all away from your families. I know the families have been over there, but, you know, but they want to go back straight, you know, dip their toes into the Arsenal straight away. I think that's a real good thing. And that's why I've always said, guys, about this, you know, I don't want to play for a team that's in the Champions League. These guys all want to play for Arsenal, and I think it's showing. And I can't wait now for Christmas Day and Boxing Day. Like, you know, I'm really looking forward to it.
I don't see why they wouldn't want to go straight back to their clubs. Mm. I mean, especially if your team's top of the league. I mean, there's that. But also, it's not like it's a normal end of a World Cup where you've had a long season, then a World Cup, and you want a break. You just want a break after a long nine or 10 months. The season's half, not even halfway through. Okay, the World Cup added on top. But if I don't understand why they wouldn't want to go straight back to their club. So, if that is true, that makes sense for me. Zinchenko, is this becoming a problem? And his injury kind of, is this becoming an issue, guys? Do we think this is something that long term is going to be a problem for us?
I don't think his injury record was great at City. I mean, I think there were little spells he missed in most seasons. I mean, it's too early for me to quite say yet that it's worrying, but then I've probably said that about Tomiyasu and Tierney, and they have been having recurring injuries. Turks, are you worried about it?
Not yet. I'm keeping an eye out on it, but not yet. First reason being, when he was out, we had adequate cover and we didn't miss him as much as we might have thought would miss him, considering he brings something completely different to Tomiyasu and Tierney. And second being, listen, Tierney's my guy. And I gave him over a year and a half before I kind of came to terms that injuries, maybe holding him back from a few games a season is probably the best way to go about it. So with Zinchenko, it's still early days. I want to see. At Man City, he did have a few spells out. I think he missed a handful of games here and there. They accumulate. But as long as we've got the adequate cover, let's utilize him in the competitions that really matter.
I hear you. And I'm not concerned just yet, but he's been at Arsenal now 5 months. He's been out for half of that. That is a long time out for someone that was supposed to be, it looks like, one of Arteta's main 11. Do you know what I mean? So the fact that they both can't stay fully fit for a long period of time, you just alternate them. That could work. But I don't think it's good that we don't have a nailed on reliable left back. We've got two quality left backs, but we don't have a reliable right. How can you not have a left back who you know is your left back? That's weird to me. So anyway, I just thought I'd float that, because
no, it's a fair question. Tierney was excellent as well in the friendly, worth saying. I mean, he's looking really, really comfortable in possession, coming inside a lot more, and he's got a really great cross as well. Just a great delivery. He can cause havoc in the final third. So that's good to see. But you know that point about the Arsenal players coming back early, you know, is an interesting one, because I have no doubt the club would have offered them a little bit of time off. It's only right, isn't it? You know, take a week or whatever. But I can really see the Sakas and Martinellis going, no, let's just get straight into it. Especially when you've had a World Cup disappointment. Maybe for them, you know, Saka was brilliant in the France game. Like, really, really good. I know we'll probably go into that game in a second. Martinelli as well, in his appearances, did great and didn't come on in that game that Brazil lost to Croatia. That was it. So, in a weird way, while they'll feel gutted because they want to win the World Cup with their nations, I don't think they'll be, you know, they won't be looking at themselves and what they could have done, you know, if that makes sense, at the World Cup. And I think they might be thinking, all right, gutted. let me just get straight back into football. Sometimes that's what you want to do. You know, it's like when you lose a game, you just want that next one to come around immediately so you can put it right. Maybe rather than wanting that sort of break to kind of take it all in, they're like, listen, we're playing well. Just get me back to my club, get me playing again.
I made a big, well, I made a point of it last show that Xhaka, again, you know, he showed an example of leadership there, and he set the tone, in my opinion, in terms of returning straight back to the team. Tomiyasu's done the same. Ben White's back in the camp. Partey, if Saka's part of it, Saka's part of it too. I wouldn't mind him taking a couple of days, considering how much game time he had and how much pressure was on his shoulders. And he was the best player against France, and we're going to get into it. He was kicked to shreds at times too. But it's the right mentality. I mean, I'm with Jordan. It's mid-season. They don't deserve too much of a break. Would they have played more games had they stayed at Arsenal and it was the Premier League? Yes, they would have played more games. I mean, Saka in the last, 4 weeks? I think the last time he played was around November the 12th. It's now Monday, 12th of December. In 4 weeks, what is it, 5 games? 3 group games, 2 knockout fixtures. It's not that much in comparison to what it would have been.
Yeah, sorry. I mean, one thing I should know about the last show I didn't like, there was a little bit too much agreeing with you four. There was a bit too much. No one challenged anybody. There was a bit too... I thought I was going to break out of Kumbaya at one point during the pod. There was a bit too much agreeing on that pod. So one thing I'm going to push back on is I'd actually be a bit disappointed if they didn't come back straight away. What are you having a break for? Get back to your clubs. Get back to work.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The season's not even halfway through. And I'm not going to praise them for coming back early. I expect that. If it was the end of a long season, fair enough. But there's been, 15 games? Get back to work, man.
You know what it is? You're right. And I completely agree with you there. You might not like it. It might be a kumbaya. But listen, I agree with you. But remember, Jordan, with Wenger, how many times a World Cup or a Euros or some sort of international tournament happened in the summer, then our key players would miss the first few weeks of the season, where would look at other teams, Man City, United, Liverpool, and the key players for them that played in the same international tournament and more time got further than our players, they were straight back to business. So I just feel like this club over the years has kind of had a laid-back attitude to being serious. And it's about time the players got serious. And I'm not saying this group, because this is, you know, a new group. So it's good. It's refreshing to see for me. You are right. Get back to work and get back on job. We're top of the league. Yes, you know, the World Cup is massive. Playing for your country is massive. But there's a big job to do here. And Xhaka said it. He's got something big to achieve with Arsenal. That was his reason to coming back. So make sure we achieve something big this season, my guy. Lee? You've been quiet. You tired?
A couple of things in it. I just think that that say if you do go home and have a break and sitting at home on your own, you might dwell on it a little bit too much, what has gone on and what hasn't. So maybe just getting that back out with the lads and all that, like, may be a good thing. I don't see that if Saka's over there being a problem, just having a couple of days off around the guys, you know, he ain't got a train or nothing. I think he needs to just have a little bit of a break, as far as that's concerned, because I felt on the game against France, he absolutely ran himself into the ground. He was absolutely superb. So I just give him a couple of days off. I don't expect him to be playing on Tuesday. Maybe coming on in the second half against Juventus at the weekend may be a good thing, just to acclimatise back to the coldness and whatever, like, would be probably what I would do. But I don't think he needs to play him probably until Boxing Day now, like, you know, and that'd be a nice rest for him. So Martinelli's hardly played. Listen, I've never ever wanted Brazil to lose a game of football in a World Cup until that game there, particularly when he didn't come on when they probably needed
yeah,
him.
Yeah, Rodrigo.
Yeah, I thought, right, get him home, because I tell you what, if they'd have got to the semi-final, you can guarantee they'd have played in that Mickey Mouse third and fourth place game, you know what I mean? So I'm delighted that he's come home, you know.
Oh, that's a great point. I forgot about that third place playoff. Yeah. Yeah. Who on earth wants to lose a semi-final and then going to be dragged out for a, listen, who's the second best loser?
As a Turkish fan, as a Turkish man, obviously Turkey got to the first place.
Awkward.
For me and for Turkey, massive moment. To say we finished third in the World Cup's massive, but England are meant to be winning.
Yeah, time for Brazil.
Brazil are meant to be winning.
Sorry, just on Lee's point there, I kind of disagree with what James just said. The third place game is a bit of a meh if you're a Brazil. I get that. You put your second team out. If England got semi-final and lost semi-final, they should be going for third place.
Yeah,
for
I meant
exact
Brazil,
same
sorry,
reasons. Yeah, I get you. For the exact same reasons that Turkey went for it. If you don't win trophies, being the third best team at a World Cup, that's still something to be quite proud of if you're a team that doesn't win World Cups or get to finals regular.
I hear that, but my thing is not, I'm not trying to sort of tarnish what it means. It's just like the disappointment of losing a semi-final and then having to go out and do that. Like, you are naturally going to lack motivation. I mean, the last third place, England played in it in 2018, right? We rotated half the team, I think. You know,
and Martinelli would have played in it. That's my point. And then, like, if it had got injured, I don't think they should have had that this time around in this one when it's in the middle of the season. I get it in the summer and everything like that. But for me, you know, I've copped the hump with Brazil because Jesus has got injured anyway in a meaningless game because it was a dead rubber game, and Martinelli. I get why he played in that one, but like that third and fourth. So I was delighted that they've gone out, and I'm delighted that he's home. And I think he's going to come back with a little bit of something to prove. You know, not to us Arsenal fans, to the Brazilian people. I think he was superb in when he came on for them, and I have to say that I was watching that Brazilian side, and after the performance he put in against Cameroon, for players to be coming on in front of him. Was unbelievable. And I'll tell you this now, that Rafinha, whatever his bleeding name is, I'm glad we never signed him. He was atrocious in that tournament, like, you know what I mean? Like, Martin, and he's 10 times a player of him. So I think we dodged a bullet there, I'll be honest. So
yeah, he's still a class player, I think.
Well, wasn't in that World Cup, was he?
No.
I thought he was poor. You know, bringing him off after 50 minutes and then bringing on the old show pony, Anthony.
Can I just say, Lee, your rant on the last episode was absolutely epic. And what was even more epic than your rant was seeing the boys trying their best to not laugh. James, not so much. James kind of failed. But I actually loved what you said in that last episode, Lee. And I was hoping you were winding up then for another rant. But you didn't quite.
I'm glad that. I am glad that Martinelli is home. And also, I have to say that, you know, it's a nice double whammy because James had him in the old sweepstake. Like, you know, so it makes it even better.
And Portugal. I mean, I can't believe them.
He was like that old Ted Rogers. Bang, bang, out you go. Like, 3-2-1 gone. Like, you know what I mean?
But you and round of 16, I mean, this probably leads into the World Cup chat now, but round of 16, I think we all would have said, Portugal, Brazil look really good for it, you know.
Yeah.
And then out the next round, between them, they got a 10-2 aggregate win or something in the round of 16. Yeah. Both out, you know, no goals in 90 minutes. They got the one. What a goal by Neymar, by the way.
Oh, fantastic goal. Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Fantastic goal. As much as I didn't want Brazil to win, I was like, that was class goal.
Yeah.
And that deserved to win it. But, you know, there you go.
I just can't believe they're both out. I mean, fair enough. Yeah, and the camera, I've got to say, and I've had my bit to say on Cristiano Ronaldo and the interviews and stuff, and I don't want to go all into that. But, I mean, the broadcast really did make sure to catch that moment, didn't they? I mean, because he left the team, didn't he? And you've had him and Neymar go out of the World Cup. You know, and it was the whole, who, you know, is it going to be Mbappe, Neymar, Ronaldo, only two left standing. But I mean, shocks and huge credit to Morocco and Croatia. I mean, it's an amazing story.
Of course, now Turkish, you know, I believe that his two teams are out as decided.
Yeah, I heard that as well. I heard that,
He actually... you know, he wants to win it for Messi. I know that, like, don't you, Turkish? I think you want to win it for Messi, like, I understand.
Yeah, but, you know, Morocco, I'm happy for them too. So if Morocco do it, then, you know.
Oh, really? Really, Morocco, like, you know what I mean? Why is that? Because no one's got Morocco? Is that quite correct there?
Yeah. It's a beautiful love story. I think it'll be a nice bit.
It's a beautiful love story. You hater. You're a hater.
Two people on the left-hand side, or the right-hand side as I look, are out, Jordan, and there's only two men standing, like, you know what I mean? Like,
well, Jordan's still in it because he didn't actually have to predict it. He just got given it.
Yes, that is true. No, that is true.
He's all right.
the jinx doesn't relate to this one for Jordan.
Listen, if France win this, I'm going to come for all of you guys, yeah, because after all my bad predictions, I get the big one right. Get the big one right, yeah? Big dog.
You know what it is, right? I'm on this whole, I want Messi to win it, because I think that he deserves it, just as a, for what he's done in the game. But do I really want to see Emi Martinez lifting the World Cup?
No, I'm going to be honest. I've got Argentina in this little sweepstake and all that, but I was desperate for the Netherlands to beat him. What a game that was, by the way. What a free kick, that last kick of the game. You know, I was down a pub, and the whole pub went nuts for that goal. I think it's the best moment of this World Cup. It was unbelievable. I've never seen a pub go mad like that. And there's me thinking, oh, I could take 20 quid off you lot, and I'm going mad for the Netherlands, you know. So that just shows you what that goal and that game done for everybody. It was a fantastic game. And that free kick, well, that'll live for a long, long while, that will.
Another classic between those two. They got a bit of history in the tournament.
Yeah.
We've moved on to the World Cup. But I'm going to say, and at the same time, I've got to ask, it's one of the best World Cups I've seen. I think for me, it's the best World Cup since 2006. And for me, it's the fourth best World Cup I've seen in my life after 98, 2002 and 2006.
Fourth. I like that.
It makes the top 12.
Yeah.
It made Champions League football, being top four, innit? What do you mean? We all rant and rave about fourth place every year and now we're laughing at it. What's wrong with you lot?
It's a random number.
I think I've only ever seen four.
Oh, yeah. You're a young buck, innit?
10, 14, 85. You know... Right, on this, is it the... It's had some unbelievable moments of drama. Like from the first round, pretty much all the way through. The twists, the turns, the upsets. It's been incredible. I do... And I think... I don't... Oh, people might think I'm so boring, but it has lacked a bit of quality for me. It's not... I don't feel like I'm watching great sides. I feel like I'm watching great moments.
With you, James. With you. 100%.
And it's like, and is that really, should I care that much? You know, you could almost say a lack of quality is what makes it exciting at times, maybe. But I think it's just lacked a little, it's lacked a little bit of quality in brilliance. I think it's also lacked some brilliant matchups. I mean, England, France, Netherlands, Argentina, great. I thought Germany, Spain was a good game in terms of quality, but... This is not to take away from the runs that teams have, you know, Japan, for example, qualifying over Germany, and the run Morocco been on, or Croatia knocking out Brazil. They've been amazing. They deserve it. I'm not taking anything away from them. But I think that the little part, I wanted that Brazil-Argentina semi-final, you know, and I don't know if I don't know if I should care about that. Maybe I shouldn't care about that. But I did want to see that. And I don't know if that's wrong with me. I don't know. But on the quality front, I do think it's lacked a little bit. And so I find myself enjoying moments rather than actually just indulge
in the full
90 and enjoy it.
I'm with you. I'll tell you what, this is nowhere near one of the best World Cups that I've ever seen. Like, you know what I mean? For quality, I'll go back to...
You've seen about 30.
Yes, all right. All right, no need for that. Wow.
Is this in your top 40, Lee?
No, it's not in my top 40. But I'm with James on this. I go back to...
You called him 104.
World Cup in America. I see Baggio. I see Romario. I see Stoichkov. Quality players, like, you know what I mean? 98, the quality of teams in that France 98 was unbelievable. 2002, you know, to see that Brazilian side go back to the 82, 86 ones as well. I'm showing my age now, like, but they were fantastic. And this one here, I think, is exactly what I think the quality of forwards in this tournament has been poor. Hardly any top class strikers, I'll be honest. But it's been shocks, moments, and things like that have really done it. But there's been no standout work. You know, Messi, for instance, is flattered, but I see, you know, still up there. And this is a Messi of, you know, nowhere near the quality of it in the past. You know, so no real standout superstar players this time around. You know. And Pappy, of course, but other than that, I haven't really seen Jude Bellingham, by the way, and our star boy Saka have come through. But I'm with James on this. It's not been as quality as it's been great to see some of the shocks and some of the games. I go along with that, but for me, it's lacked a lot of quality, this one.
And that for me, Turkish, is why I said after watching everybody play once, I remember saying England can win this World Cup because I wasn't impressed with anybody. I know Brazil won their first game 3-0 and they beat, I think it was Serbia in the first match. And I think of all the performances after round one, they were probably they looked the best. I know Spain beat Costa Rica 7-0, but come on, just Costa Rica with all due respect and all that stuff. Nobody really impressed me. I saw round two. Again, no one. Round three, there was no one that I thought was stand out. There was no obvious. There were favourites. Brazil and France were the favourites, yeah. But I didn't see anything from them that made me think England should be scared of them. I thought those teams could beat England, and we saw France beat England. But England could have beaten France. England could have beaten Brazil. I didn't think England had anybody to really fear. And I think this is a slightly separate point, but I think what we're seeing over the last 6 or 7 years is the improvement of the English national team, but the decline of the other leading nations. Brazil are not as good as they were 15 years ago. Even France won a World Cup. World champions. I don't think France are amazing. Germany, you know, Germany are not the German. They need the whole reboot, Germany. Spain are having their reboot, but they've got two great players in midfield, and that's about it. They're under 23. Italy aren't even at this World Cup. Holland are Holland. So of all, Argentina are being dragged along by 35-year-old Lionel Messi. They're not great. They are not good. So when you look at the top footballing nations, in the last decade, none have really got better, but England have got better. Why? I'll tell you why. Because England have got the Premier League where the best managers and coaches are playing, which enables your Sakas, your Fodens, your Grealishes, your Marcus Rashfords to improve year on year. The quality of football in this country has got better because Pep's here, because Mourinho was here, because Wenger was here, because Rafa Benitez was here. The top European managers in the last 15, 20 years being in this country has impacted the national team significantly. And if you look at all the other leading nations across the world in world football, I'm sorry, none stand out. And some, in the case of Italy and Germany, are actually dog. They're actually really, really bad. So I think England had nothing to fear, and they will see this as an opportunity missed because they could have beaten Argentina, they could have beaten Croatia, they could have beaten Morocco, and they should have beaten France, but that's just my view. But I think, to James's point, I agree. The quality of
Croatia, like, poor. They're an aging side. They've got a 37-year-old midfield player, and they're in the semi-final of the World Cup, like, you know. So I'm with Jordan on that as well, like, you know. And I'll tell you what, like, you know, you said about top-class managers. We'd have had one. We might be in the final.
So how do you reflect on Southgate, guys? Where are we?
Same as let us down again. Do you know what, though? I'm going to say this now. I think I was coming home on the radio. Do you know England, since winning the World Cup, have never beaten in a knockout any decent high side in a knockout since 1966.
Sounds about right. A World Cup.
Yeah, a World Cup, like, you know, if you go back to, you know, like in 70 they lost to Germany, 74 and 78 we didn't get there. When it got to the knockouts, you know, we couldn't get past Spain and in 82. 86, we beat, I can't remember who we beat. And then we went out to Argentina. Then in 1990, we got the quarterfinal, Cameroon. Cameroon we got in the quarterfinal and then we lost. And it's like, it was a stat that I couldn't believe. I couldn't believe. So it's not just Southgate, but for me, I think he has done well to get us where he has, and I can't dislike him. But that the substitutions yesterday cost us, absolutely cost us. You know what I mean? Like, and I'll tell you what it was, and I said it yesterday. He brought on at 1-1, whenever it was. He brought on, I think it was at 1-1. He brought on Sterling and Mount. And I look at Mason Mount. It was a little bit more of an attacking option with than Henderson, but it was with caution, like, you know what I mean, like, because he can just do that. If you really wanted to go for it, you'd have chucked on a Madison. And if you really, really wanted to go for it, when you left out Saka, you'd have took on Grealish to go past players. It was just that little bit of caution to those substitutions, and I just think that's where he's always falling short. He's a little bit scared to win a game. I think he's more scared to lose a game than go and win a game. And I think that's where he is. And I think with someone just a little bit more, I don't know, better. God, I'm going to say it. Like, I think we would have probably got through this game against. So I didn't think France were that good, guys. I've got to be honest. I thought they were poor.
England probably edged it. I thought it was a pretty even game, but because France created the better chances. But in my opinion, it's not same old Gareth Southgate, because this one, it felt like England should have got something out of it and should have taken it to extra time, and they had done enough to do that. Whereas previously, in previous tournaments, it's like they go in with a handbrake on, they whimper out, tails between their legs. But you are rightly, it comes down to decision making, and decision making is still on the manager, regardless of how you play.
I thought tactically he got it spot on for the first. It was the substitute up until the substitutions. I just felt that
it's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
We had them on the ropes. We had them on the ropes. The tactically thing is stuffed them out of it. Just go for it when you're right on top. And I just felt that he didn't do it. But I felt the way that we nullified Mbappe was fantastic. I thought... Yeah. Henderson gets a lot of stick, but I thought we'd done a fantastic job just slotting over on that right hand side and blocking that down there. Tactically, I'm going to say Southgate got it right, but just when it mattered, let it down, and I think it just took away the initiative. Like, you can nod your head as much as you like, Jordan. Like, you know what I mean? The facts are, we lost.
More of a shake than a nod. I think he's disagreeing. Go on, Jordan. Jordan versus judges. Ding, ding, ding.
I just don't agree that Southgate was the problem here. I agree with Lee that I think tactically he got it right. I don't agree with this narrative that he got his substitutions wrong. I think the one thing he did do that baffled me was the timing of the Rashford sub. That one baffled me a little bit. But people talk about Mason Mount. Why are you bringing on Mason Mount? The guy won a penalty. I'm not having that.
Nah, Theo Hernandez gave away a penalty more than...
Someone's got to make the run.
Yeah, but...
He made the run. If no one makes the run, we're all saying, why is no one making the run? And then the long ball goes to nobody. And he goes out for a goal kick. He made the run. You can't take that away from Mason Mount. He won the penalty that could have got England 2-2. So for me, that proved a good substitution. The Rashford one coming on really late, I didn't get that. I would have brought Rashford a little bit earlier, granted. But then even saying that, people say, oh, make the substitutions earlier on. The time when people are calling for Southgate to bring on the subs was a time when England were creating chances to score the goals. So if you're on top and you're creating chances, why would you make subs? The problem was England didn't take their chances. The problem's been for England for about 6, 7, 8, 9 years now. They struggle to score in open play. Look at England's knockout record in the last 2 or 3 tournaments, even one before Southgate came on board. Penalties, free kicks, set pieces. A lot of their goals come from those means, which is fine. But unless you can find a way to break the top teams down in open play, you're always going to struggle. In play, Southgate and England struggle to create enough chances and be clinical to put teams away. Kane had a one-on-one. Saka had a chance. Maguire had a chance. And Kane missed the penalty. There's 4 chances there England could have scored. You've got to score at least one. I was in the pub in Bristol watching the game, doing a broadcast. I said to everyone in the pub, England have to score now. If they don't score now, France will get a chance and end this. And what happened? So for me, this talk about Southgate being cautious, Southgate being poor at decisions. Yeah, all right, the result was England went out. But not because of decisions. It's because England were not clinical when it mattered. And who came up in the end and was clinical when it mattered? Our old boy, Olivier Giroud. So I can't hear any heat or any criticism about Gareth Southgate being poor or cautious or safety first, because he wasn't. He actually wasn't in this game. The problem was the chance that England did create were good chances. You've got to take one. Not all 4, take one.
Who's the best player on the park for England?
Saka.
Why did you take him off then?
He took him off because I heard he might have had an ankle knock. That could just be some rumours coming out. I don't know if that's true. I heard he had a little knock on his ankle, potentially. But he might have been tiring. I don't know.
Do you think Giroud might have been tiring?
Giroud's not making runs up and down the pitch like Saka was.
I think if you've got a player,
Drew's not running like Saka's running.
If Arteta would have done that, we'd be all going mad. You know what I mean? Like, he's causing mayhem down the right hand side. He took him off and put on Sterling. That done absolutely nothing. And why he's brought on Sterling is bizarre. Like, it is. You know what I mean? Like, not only to bring him on, Jordan. He ain't been there for a week.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
You know what I mean? Physically,
it's not a mistake, and it wasn't in hindsight. I said it straight away when I was watching the game. Why is he? If you're going to bring someone on, bring on Grealish, someone like for like. I just felt that, you know, it's a baffling decision. You know what I mean? Like, I felt, you know, you can argue about, like, you know, he brings on Grealish with a minute to go because Stones is injured. You know what I mean? We need a goal. Couldn't have done it a little bit. I'm not. It's not because I hate Southgate. I think he seems like a nice guy. I just don't think he's good enough. And at the end of the day, and when you look at all of that talent there, you know what I mean. And somebody said it today. Probably our most talented player is Maddison, and he never got a second of football there. Like, you know, that was the time to bring him on, but. You know, he goes with the tried and trusted in Mount and Sterling. I thought it was poor.
I think Southgate, I warmed to him this tournament, which is weird because I've been a big critic. In this debate, I've been more on the Lee than the Jordan side of things. But I'm coming more to Jordan's side, and I think the reason is because I think when I look at Luis Enrique, who I rate massively as a manager, and actually Spain, you kind of got one good performance out of them this tournament. Flick with Germany as well. And there's just quite a few teams I expected more of. And actually watching the tournament, it goes back to the whole quality thing. I thought, you know, no one looks that good, actually. So if you've even got a manager who is loved by the players, who they play for, and, you know, he knows the group well. And I think generally done a lot of good for the relationship between the fans and the national team. I kind of think, all right, you know what? And actually, we scored some really good goals, you know, 6-1 against Iran. They proved not to be an easy side very quickly after that. We then went and beat Senegal 3-0. And in none of these games, apart from Iran, did I actually think, oh, we look, even Wales, we've beaten 3-0. Actually, we looked that great for most of the game. But I thought, you know what? They're kind of solid enough and they're all working really hard. And there's enough quality that they might get through. But I do get where Lee's coming from in terms of that slight handbrake. And it might feel like nitpicking, but I kind of get it. Mount hasn't really been having a great season. I can't remember the last time I was particularly impressed by Mason Mount or thought that he was a match winner in some way, shape or form. But James Maddison came into this World Cup as a real hot goal threat for assists, for goals himself. You know, he plays in the 10. He's great on set pieces. So for him not to get a single minute, even just roll the dice, go through at the back, do something with 5-10. Yeah, we know that there's so much injury time. Get into those last 8 minutes and just go for it. I do think he lacks that little bit of bravery sometimes. But largely, I can't complain too much about Southgate.
I don't.
Would I prefer Tuchel? I mean, I'm hearing Tuchel apparently wants the job. I'd love to see what Tuchel can do with this group of players. But I don't think there's an obvious other option out there. I'm not like getting rid because I just don't know who else other than Tuchel maybe.
On the point about the handbrake, I don't think you can play this non-handbrake or this kind of free-flowing football and handle Mbappe at the same time. For me, it's one or the other. Either you have a system that's set up to contain their most dangerous players that may take a little bit away from your attack, or you decide, no, we're gonna put it on you, but you're then potentially vulnerable to Mbappe tearing you a new one. So you can't have it both ways for me. If Southgate goes for it a bit more, Mbappe scores two goals. Mbappe was quiet, absolutely locked down. Yeah. He was locked off. And part of that was because that the handbrake was on. And just a point on Saka before Turkish you pick up. Because you know me, Turkish. I'm the kind of person that if I make a prediction and I get it right, I tell the world. I told you so. So I'm gonna be fair. I actually said before the game, I would have dropped Saka for Rashford. I thought this might have been a game for Marcus Rashford to start, actually. The Senegal game, I thought Saka was right to start that one. This one, I would have started Rashford. But it actually turned out that, once again, Southgate got it right. Because the best player, as Lee floats, was Saka on the pitch. So when you talk about Southgate's decisions, more often than not, gets them right. Now, the problem that Southgate has got, which I can't defend against, is that when it ultimately matters against the top teams that are as good as England or better, he comes out short. That's something that he's got to work out. You can't always be unlucky. You can't always, that's how it goes, that's football. At some point, you're going to have to beat a Croatia, a France, a Brazil. You're going to have to beat a team or a major competition who are better than you. France are better than England. And he hasn't done that yet. So that's a criticism that he'll have to just hold and take on the chin.
So I actually agree with quite a bit of what you're saying. But if I was to ask you, whose squad's better, England's or Spain's? England. But Spain got rid of Enrique when they got knocked out at the same stage because there's higher standards there. Maybe, you know, Southgate has brought England this far. It's time to pass the baton where you've done amazing work. I mentioned it on Big Six. 10 years ago, England knocked out in the group stage of the 2014 World Cup, knocked out 2016 Euros by Iceland. So to come leaps and bounds from there, he still deserves credit, but how many opportunities can he get to knock a big boy out?
But you could argue Enrique's had two campaigns now and there's no progression. They finished where in the Euros? I forgot.
Semi-final, to be fair. They were unlucky to lose to Italy on penalties. Italy,
and the last World Cup?
Oh, poor, I believe.
They haven't got the firepower, though.
Russia beat them on pens in the round of 16.
They haven't got the firepower that we've got.
True, but the point I'm making is that Enrique was sacked because of three campaigns. He's bombed three times. Whereas Southgate has had three relatively good campaigns for he's not won any of them, but for me, they're three relatively good campaigns. I think you can sack Southgate tomorrow. For me, you're rolling the dice. Because this idea that you bring in Pochettino, you bring in Tuchel. I'll say it again. I said it on this pod for you guys at the start of the competition. Club management and international management are two different skill sets.
Yeah, they are.
Different skill sets. There's no guarantee that Pep Guardiola goes in the England squad and wins the World Cup with England. Because it's a different skill set required. You don't get to buy players. You don't get to drill players every single day. You get players four times a year for 10 days.
Mm. Is that why maybe, like, you know, James mentioned Tuchel, someone else mentioned Jose on a previous stream. Is that why maybe now it's time to look for a manager that, you know, has done it in terms of bringing, even if it is a club, into cup finals?
It's the Turkish, it's that moment, that final moment there. Jordan makes a great point, and I'm not going to argue with it, like, you know, I mean, tactically, I thought we got it spot on. Saka was there. I felt it was the right thing to play Saka because he's played left back before. Defensively, I thought he'd done a fantastic job. I think Foden done it on the other side as well. They doubled up and made it very, very difficult. But the tactic, as well as it was, we ended up being 2-1 down. And that's when the manager has to do something, what I'm saying, that little fine margins. You know, if he'd have brought on Maddison, we might have still have lost.
Then
you turn around and go, do you know what? At least he's had a real go. I just felt that there was a little bit too much caution in those substitutions. Mm-hmm. And we're 2-1 down. And, you know, like, if we'd have lost 3-1...
But his sub almost caused an equaliser. The Mason Mount sub, all right, it wasn't Maddison.
That's fair.
The Mason Mount sub did cause a chance to get it back.
I get that. But... You know, if Harry Kane's penalty... Listen, I don't think... Let's be honest. This get really honest. If we're going to be really honest, Mason Mount didn't do anything. It was just poor, poor defending. The ball wasn't even nowhere near going. He's made the run. It's just a stupid defensive thing. And I think at the end of the day, because that Hernandez's been run ragged all game, he just...
And Upamecano was tearing it apart.
Poor.
They got away with it, France.
Saliba is not in that. I'm actually thinking, wow, this French central defensive, they must be fantastic. I'll give it Varane, I thought was probably the best one out. But I would have Saliba in every day of the week there. I don't know why. He was awful against Kane. You know, nearly give away a penalty. He got turned. You know what I mean? When you have a look at it, Harry Kane never got a kick at the Emirates against Saliba. You know, so now it's a different thing. Look, we'll argue about it to the cows come home. Like, I think he's had three tournaments now, Croatia, Italy, and this one. And I think if he would have been a little bit more bolder, we could have won those three games. Like, you know what I mean? But we haven't. And I'm not saying that he should be sacked or anything like that, but I think it's something that he's got to get, just be a little bit more braver. That's all I'm saying.
The thing Lee, I think, has got in his favour is that the next Euros is only 18 months away. And England have to go into that Euros as one of the two favourites to win it. I know Germany are the hosts, Italy are the holders. But for me, England going to that Euros, one of the favourites to win it. So I think he'll hang on because it's not long away. It's not that far away. And it's a trophy that he will think he can win.
I think he should. You know, we've got some exciting players, which he has built. You have to give him his due to a certain degree. And this is where I'm not slagging him off all the time. He chucked Jude Bellingham in there at 19. That's a brave decision. Yeah. Brave decision.
True.
It's paid off. You know what I mean? Like, I think at the end of the day, we've all sort of said it, you know, is Saka going to start or is he not? He's stuck with him. And look, you know, reap the rewards of what Saka is there, like, you know. So
back to Maguire, who'd had a good tournament.
I thought, you know, him and Stones are a very, very good partnership back there, like, you know. So, and I'm going to say it again, the Walker decision to bring it's very, very brave to bring him back with no games under his belt. I thought performed fantastically well. So it's just that little thing where I just, you know, I just felt he just didn't, again, he just let me down with those substitutions, you know. But as you say, if Harry Kane puts that penalty in, Who knows? Who knows?
I know you're short on time, Turkish, but I think we just quickly on Saka. I think to review his performance at the World Cup. He's done himself proud. He's done the Arsenal fans proud. Mm. He's done the country proud. Especially coming back from, you know, how the Euros ended last year, to be starting ahead of some of the talent that England have got in that position, the wide areas. And I think apart from one game where I thought he was poor, I think he's been brilliant. And to be the best player on the pitch against the world champions. And yeah, keep, you know, Foden did nothing yesterday. I'm sorry. All this clamour for Foden to start. Some of you guys were talking about Foden's got to start with Saka. He was awful yesterday. Awful was a stretch. He wasn't awful, but he wasn't great. Saka was the boy that showed up, delivered, and as you both just said there, the French defence were absolutely in pieces. They had to foul him. They had to keep
man of the match. If England win,
I think he was
man of the match.
I think he was.
But you know what?
And just on that Saka thing, he's not played Champions League football. Thank you, Arsenal. He's not played Champions League football, so it's not like he's had that stage yet. And yes, he's had the Euros, but of course, that's only European nation. So to kind of announce himself on the world stage like that, I think is just a really big moment for him. And he scored some great goals at this tournament and been the best player on a pitch that included Kylian Mbappe. I mean, he should just be feeling... I know he'll be... Listen, first and foremost, he'll be gutted because they're out. But I think he'll be feeling amazing about it when he reflects on it.
For me, England's best player in the tournament, Jude Bellingham, close second. You know, some would say Bellingham first, but I think Saka's definitely second if you have Bellingham first. But it's another example of another test for Saka, another step up, and he delivers. And I can't lie, he just keeps on growing and growing and growing. But I'm going to take... Listen, a good friend of mine said something, and I'm going to take it from him. I hope he doesn't mind. Some may call him a wise man, but if Carlsberg made England exits... then Kane missing a penalty would be the perfect way.
Spursy. How Spursy is that, isn't it? How Spursy is
the... Indeed. Indeed. I'll leave the comments.
I did feel for him. Is it bad? I'm an Arsenal fan. Is it bad that I felt for him?
No. I mean, yeah, that is bad. Yeah. Let me not even say what I was about to say, but yeah.
Like, as in just... I think I'd feel bad for any player. Would I? I don't know.
If
you're going to go out, that's the way to go out, isn't it? Like, you know, come on, there's an Arsenal.
There's the wise man.
Just be honest about it. Like, aren't we? Like, at the time, I was gutted, but like, when all the comments come flying in, and all the jokes and the Johnny Wilkinson video and all that, you know, it's great, isn't it? It's great, isn't it? It's a Tottenham man that it's happened to, like, you know what I mean? Like, so... enjoy it, you know what I mean? Inject it into your veins, Arsenal supporters. That's what I say, like, you know. Live on the misery. Someone said to me, do you feel sorry for Harry Kane? And I was feeling a little bit down all that. And then I remember him throwing off his mask at White Hart Lane and, you know what I mean, diving for penalties against us and all
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yeah.
No way do I feel sorry for him. No way do I.
You've been in an England shirt a bit too long. You're right.
Inject it, James. Inject it.
Jordan?
It probably won't, but let's see if that affects him for the season. Because we talked about, I think we agreed that Saka would be fine after his penalty miss experience last season, or the Euros last year. But, you know, Kane is the England captain. And to be the guy that misses the penalty, that is Mr. Reliable, will that have a knock-on effect for the season? You know, we'll find out.
And I'm sure on Sunday the 15th, the Arsenal fans will be reminding him of it.
You're going to that game by any chance?
I am, and I'm going to start singing it. Right.
Okay, I was wondering what your source was for why you think they might.
Lee's ready to go. We've just hit 1 hour, people, so we're going to wrap it up here. Lee, James, did you have comments ready?
I think Jordan nailed them.
No, because you know it was in the in the chat. I am having the comments of the week this week. I'm not going to argue with the main man Jordan. I'm not going to argue with him, right? You know what I mean, so
I was hurt.
He reads that book every night before going to bed. People,
I do.
Make it nice.
As it happens, I was on the train. I've got to say this. I was on the train. It was only, I think it was only about 4 hours of the pod, like, you know what I mean? And I see a lot of comments here. I was having a chuckle on the way to the work.
Jordan, you know we love you, right?
No, you lot aren't the problem. It's them lot out there.
They love you as well. Listen, it's pantomime season, Jordan. Everybody loves a villain. I love you. I think you're absolutely wonderful.
I love you, guys. I'm your panto villain
anytime. Like, you know what I mean? So there you go.
I wouldn't wake up at 7:30 in the morning for anyone, Jordan. I'll tell you that much.
That is so true.
Like, you know.
Oh, guys, stop.
If Shiroy says he wants to do it at 8 o'clock, oh, I'm in bed, mate. Like,
No chance,
Shiroy. You'll have to have a swerve up, but for you, I'm doing it, mate. Like, aren't we?
Love Jordan, lovely, love James. On that note, it is 1:20. It's Monday morning, people. It is mad. This one's down to me. I'm somewhat of a night owl, as people would like to call it. I'm not an early morning person, but I am a late night person. So big up Jordan, big up Lee, and big up James for staying up to get this done and bring it to you guys. You guys, make sure you hit the like button and get it up to 1,000. Leave your comments. Keep them respectful. Love for the love, as always. And we'll be back after the AC Milan game and after the semi-finals in the World Cup. We'll analyse the Arsenal friendly, the semi-finals, and we'll keep it moving. Predictions for the World Cup final coming this Sunday.
Hit the like button.
Leave your comments. Let's see who wins the sweepstakes. Is it going to be Lee? Is it going to be Jordan? 7 days' time, we'll know who it is. People, we're out. Peace.
Sports Social Podcast Network.